On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the festival.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious about this. It is. It is that. It is that of which I speak. Hello. Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Good to see you that I can't see you. Hello, my name is Ron Van Dam. I play the part of Ron Van Dam on a radio show. It's been a spoof I've been since I was born. On my birth certificate, this was like a gigantic joke and spoof. I made believe I would be born and live pretty much an entire lifetime and do all kinds of crazy, wacky things within that period of time and be very, very different than other people. Be very curmudgeon-y and very complainy, you know, it was be like just a ball of personality. And it's just, I've been carrying it on since I was born, and it was just fantastic, fantastic joke. Welcome to the program. Who are you? I don't like to talk to strangers on the air. Stranger danger. I don't know who you are. I don't. Some of you I may know by disassociation or by lawsuit. But otherwise, I'm not too sure who you are. You see, there's this giant black curtain between you and me. You can hear my voice, and you can probably Google me and see what I look like. It's not a big picnic, but an interesting one nonetheless. As a matter of fact, there's someone who almost has my name, but has robbed me of my entire personality and everything that I publicly stand for. His name is Rob Van Dam, R-O-B, Rob. My name is Ron, R-O-N. But since the invention of this superpathic international highway called the Internet, for some reason the Google people and the Bing people and the Yahoo people somehow confuse Ron Van Dam with Rob Van Dam. And most times, if not all, when you Google my name, Ron Van Dam, the Google people will say, you mean Rob Van Dam. And you say, no, had I meant Rob Van Dam, I would have typed in Rob Van Dam. I want Ron Van Dam. And the Google people still insist in the Google search, even if you put in Ron Van Dam, that Rob Van Dam will come up quite frequently. Who is Rob Van Dam? Unfortunately, he's more popular than I am. He is a wrestler, not a real wrestler, what we call a professional wrestler. In other words, he's a theatrical wrestler. And he's been around for a while, and his initials are RVD. Hey, fuck, those are my initials. Now, I've been quite prolific over the decades with a television show, radio show, doing all kinds of video, owning different businesses. So I'm pretty prolific. I wore a prophylactic for quite some time in my life. I'm on the IMDb. I've directed a motion picture. I've done shit. This Rob Van Dam gets in a ring, wrestles people, goes home, and he's somehow more popular than I, to the point where if you Google my name, his name will come up, and it's not even my name. Am I pissed about this? Yeah. For Google and profile purposes, he's pretty much messed up my whole deal. But on the other hand, who cares? For a guy like myself who has 4 Facebook pages and never visits them, The only time I fall upon my own Facebook page is when I mistakenly go there. And, oh my goodness, you have 300 messages. People are trying to tell you about attending things that you'd never go to anyway because you don't care. And look, another 80 people want to friend me. Friend me? What are you doing when you're friending me? Am I knighting you as one of my friends? You're not my friend. I happen to know you, and I'm allowing you to look at something that's on generally on the internet about myself, of which I post basically absolutely nothing. Friend, a little bit of a harsh word for what this category is, and that is I simply know that you exist, you simply know that I exist, I find no intrinsic interest in what you do, and I know you find no intrinsic interest in what I do, otherwise I'd be doing more of it. So who are we kidding? I could be using Facebook for very good purposes. I could be promoting things, promoting my businesses, promoting this radio show and other radio shows that I do. But do I use Facebook in order to do that? No. Do you know why? Because I find it to be very intrusive. It's like the March of Dimes calling me up, which they do, by the way. They call me up and they say, Ron, would you mind if we sent you like a lot of envelopes or envelopes? Could you go door to door in your neighborhood and collect money for us? To which I respond, what are you, shitting me? No, I won't. Do it yourself. I don't go begging from my neighbors for money, for whatever the purpose may be. I don't even beg for myself for money, much less for other people. Do you see me when you're driving down the street standing on a median strip asking for cash? No, I don't do that. Would I do that if I had to? I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. Hope I never have to find out. That's how sensitive I am. No, I will not go collecting money for you door to door from my neighbors. No, I will not. I was embarrassed enough doing UNICEF collections when I was trick-or-treating as a kid. But that didn't matter because everybody was doing it. I am not going to specifically go to my neighbors and ask for money for you. If you got enough money to send me a dime every month in the mail, you certainly got enough money to send someone to my neighbors, and I know that you're sending dimes to my neighbors too. Don't kid me about that. Ron, will you go collect for us? What? No. No, I will not. Well, to me, that's what this is all about. This is like asking your friends to listen to your radio show. I mean, come on, man. How pathetic is that? It's pathetic. So I don't do it. Anyway, this Rob Van Dam exists. He's a nothing. But I'm prolific. I don't even know how I started talking about this, and I will never find out unless I listen to the show from the beginning myself, which you know I shall never do. In any event, good morning to you, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time of day this may be. It is a wonderful thing to be doing a podcast. I do prefer this to everything else that I do, to be honest with you. I've done broadcast radio for 20 years, and I'm still doing it at a Boston station, or a couple of them, and I don't like doing it. I like getting out of the house, but then when I get out of the house, I don't like getting out of the house. You know what I'm saying? I spend most of my life, I don't know if you're like me, I hope you're not. I spend most of my life wanting to do something else, and then I get the opportunity to do something else, and I find out very quickly that I don't like doing that. And then I'm stuck in a position because I said I would do it, and then I do it, and I find out I don't like doing it. So what's the answer to that? Don't want to do anything. Then stop wanting to do things, because when you finally do them, you don't want to do them anymore. So it's the journey. It's not actually doing them or not doing them. So stop asking. Stop wanting to do things. Stop being so aggressive. Stop having stars in your eyes, because by the time you get there, you don't want it. When I was young, I said to myself, oh, I'd love to be a broadcast radio. Get up every day, go to a studio, do a show, go home. Yeah, it was a lot of fun for a while, but after a while, it wasn't fun. Everything that seems like fun isn't fun anymore. Even marriage. And I know that you're saying, Ron, that's a horrible thing to say, but look, everybody gets bored doing the same thing. You got to spice things up always. Doesn't mean you have to kill what you have. It just means you have to adjust it a little bit. But that's me. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's you. That's me. I've got to do different things. So just doing this and talking to you, and you can listen to this any time of day that you want. You can listen to, you can be butt naked, lying in your bathtub with bubbles on your ass, and I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't know it. And you can listen to this show while you're taking a bath being completely naked at any time of day. Damn, I missed the Ron show. He's on at 8 o'clock. Damn it. Damn it. Now I have to go online and maybe it'll be posted there. Maybe it won't. Old time radio was never posted anywhere. If you missed it, you missed it. That was the end of it. But with this podcast crap, you can listen any time of day and say, well, I like to listen to Ron's show at 5 o'clock when I get home from work while I'm having a cocktail, because he's bizarre and so is my cocktail. And the cocktail makes him even more bizarre than he is, and that's off the charts. So I like to listen to him at 5 o'clock. Well, there he is, 5 o'clock every day. He's right on my internet. I think that's kind of nice. I'm going to shut up for just a period of time now while you go get your cocktail, and we'll be right back.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person, because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Well, it's day number 26,532 of my allergies. Never had allergies before that particular day, 27,000 days ago. Or 28,000, I mean, who's counting? But I have them. I wake up every morning with what we call the sniffles, which is a very polite, kidding way of saying that I have things dripping down my throat continually, and it's not pleasant. And now I'm getting into allergy season, which is 365 days a year, and I'm just dripping, man. I'm just dripping. I'm like a faucet that hasn't been fixed and can't be. I go through more tissues, man. I go through tissues like I go through a bottle of vodka. It's unbelievable. Went to Costco yesterday. I wanted to pick up some chicken. I'm having a few people over, and I figured I'll make some chicken parmesan. It's simple to make, and it's tasty as hell. So I went to Costco, figuring I have to buy a large amount of chicken, and I'm figuring that Costco will have the lowest prices for large amounts of things. Well, I don't know. So I do my usual trip. I get to Costco, and there's a lady at the door, and she wants to see my Costco card. And I feel like engaging her, and I said, like, why am I showing you a card every time I get in? You don't even look to see about if my name is... this could be a card from, like, 1927 from my dead grandmother. I don't know how long you've been in business, but why am I even flashing a stupid card at you? And she responded in probably the most intelligent way I've ever heard anybody respond. She said, I don't know. I don't know. You pay me to stand here. I really don't know. It serves no purpose. You're absolutely right. I've never seen a store where you have to show a card to get in. Like, why would a store not want you in their place? If you have the ability to purchase something, why would they not want you in there? It's just, what kind of special club is this? Is everybody in there wearing white tennis shoes, or they're paying membership fees of like $2,000 a year? I mean, why would you not want somebody shopping in your warehouse? It's not even a store. It's a freaking warehouse. I buy off of pallets. I mean, seriously, man. Get off your high horse. Your high pallet. And you start walking around Costco and you're looking at the other people. And they're not special membership people. You expect that they'd all own yachts or something, or Porsches or something, like they've been driven around limousines in a special club thing. They're not. They look shabbier than I do, and that's a stretch. I mean, it's just kind of weird. They're not. They're pretty shabby-looking people, some of them. What kind of club is this, by the way? And I start looking at their prices, and I'm saying to myself, some of your prices are okay, but I think they're higher than Walmart, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think I am. I think they're higher. And so I'm walking around the club, and I get to the chicken area, and there is a chicken area where they have all the meats and the poultries and things like that. And there's five chicken breasts in a package, and I'm saying to myself, well, that's about what I want, five chicken breasts. Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I pick up the package of five chicken breasts, and lo and behold, it's just five on the top of the package. You lift it up, and it is vacuum sealed another three sets of five chickens. 15 freaking chicken breasts in this thing. It's like $30. What kind of club is this, man? What kind of family do you have to have? I mean, you can't shop at Costco unless you own a freezer in your garage, if you even have a garage. It just doesn't, and there's nothing like the freshness of frozen meat. No, you can't beat the freshness of frozen meat. Ugh, yuck. Yuck. Why doesn't Costco, I want to talk to you, Costco, for a second. Why do you only sell in bulk? If you're a membership club food place, purchase item place, and there's a membership fee, it's not a lot, but there's a fee involved to, I guess, to keep the Quakers out and the Amish. You don't want the Amish in there roaming around, my God. That would just lower the image of the club. You don't want the Amish in there. Why do you have to sell everything in bulk? I mean, I look at your little TV section, which is limited, and it's not like I have to buy five TVs, otherwise I can't buy any. You sell TVs by the TV. I mean, when I go into your little liquor area or your little wine area, I can buy a bottle of wine from you. That's not a problem. It's not like I have to buy a case of wine or anything. So why are some things just like one item and other things you have to buy like 20 of them packaged like that? Why can't you just sell me a jar of ketchup? Because, you know, a jar of ketchup, I'll take me 3 months to go through that thing. So, like, why do I have to buy the 55-gallon drum of ketchup? What's up with that, man? Why don't you just start selling things to people that don't have families of 20? Is all your membership Catholics or something? Like, why do you have to buy so much? Why do you have to buy so much? I would go in there more frequently if I could just buy a single item of anything besides wine and a TV. I mean, when you buy a pair of pajamas from Costco, you can buy a pair of pajamas. Can't try them on, but you can buy them. It's not like you have to buy 20 pairs of pajamas. What is this bulk for some things and some things not? And then you go pay for the thing, and it's like crossing the border into Mexico and coming back into the United States. The security is immense. There are never any employees in Costco whatsoever until you get to the checkout, and then it's like swarming like a SWAT team. So regimented. And then here's the odd part that to this day I can't figure out. And I ask them about it and they don't know themselves. I purchase something. I buy it from them. It's on my credit card. They have a very strict border line. It's like the border between countries. You're checked out, you pay for what you have, and you get through. You can't get back in again. The border guard won't let you back into the store. So you've paid for everything. You've got it in one of those stupid shopping carts. You're on your way out, and there's a person standing there that has to check and make sure that everything in your cart is on the receipt. It is mistrust personified. And I said to the guy checking my stuff, I feel like I'm in a bank and you think I've stolen like all your money and broken into your safe deposit box. What are you checking me for? Just remember this. I'm a club member. When I go shopping in a supermarket or in a department store, they don't check my receipt against what's in my cart before I exit the building. And I'm not even a club member there. Here I'm a club member, and you're checking me out even though I pay you club fees, membership fees. Why are you checking me out? I can't get back in. I don't have an opportunity to take anything else with me because I can't get back in your store anyway after I've paid for stuff. So why are you checking me again? And one guy said to me, and the only reason he could come up with, he says, because it makes you feel like a member. And I said, no, it makes me feel like a thief. Why don't you just like send me through a scanner and make sure that I haven't shoved any pajama pants up my ass or vitamin bottles in bulk up my wife's vagina? I mean, why don't you check that? Because believe me, every time I come in here, I'm shoving things in my body cavities. It's the only way I can make it work for myself. These are crazy people in these Costco places. They're crazy. They don't even understand why they do what they do. They don't even get it. And then you leave the Costco place, finally. They don't give you shopping bags. I'm paying membership fees. Give me a fucking shopping bag. No, I can't do that. But in a supermarket, I don't have membership fees, and they give me a plastic or a paper bag. They even ask me which one I want, and I tell them, and they accommodate me. You at Costco, you say, go pick up a box in the corner yourself. Like, what? I'm a member. I don't care. We'll check you out even more. You become a member, I'll scrutinize you even more. I will check you up and down. I will not trust you. You become a member, and I will abuse you like you've never been abused before. You become a member so that I think that you're a lying, thieving asshole. That's what membership buys you. I don't understand. I don't understand your ways. So I'm leaving Costco with my unbagged items in a shopping cart. And outside of the Costco is a new, beautiful new Toyota vehicle. And apparently I can buy a Toyota vehicle at Costco. I don't know. I don't know how many of them I have to buy, because I don't know if you can just buy one car. I'm not sure about that. But I guarantee you, they're probably going to ask to see my receipt. I just don't get it. I think I go there just to be abused. I think it's like dominatrix or something. I think I become a Costco member just so I can be abused unwarrantedly. I think that's the only purpose I would do that.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Well, we've talked to her before. We talked to her again today. She's a nice person, a good friend, Michelle Perry. She's with Gazelle.com, and she's with us about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, around Christmas time. And she's a hell of a woman. She's just a hell of a woman. This company, Gazelle, well, they do stuff that I never thought you could do. Let's speak to Michelle here. Michelle Perry is a consumer tech expert at Gazelle.com. We've talked to her before, probably about half a year ago, and she joins us now. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much. Well, we're talking about something that all of us have on our persons, and I'll specifically say that would be cell phones and tablets and things like that. And I know I've got quite a few of them sitting in a drawer that I never go into, but apparently I've got money just sitting in my drawer and I don't even realize it.
That's right. Spring is all about green, not just the environment, but also getting cash for your unwanted devices. So if you, like many other Americans, have unwanted electronics lying around your house, you could be sitting on hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I probably do. And it is springtime, so that's when you do spring cleaning, and you're supposed to go through these drawers and these areas that you haven't visited all winter and such. And there, it's like finding like putting on an old coat, and then you go into the pocket, and there's a $20 bill, I guess.
Don't you love that? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Gazelle mostly takes later model smart devices and MacBooks and tablets and some MP3 players.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get an awful lot of money. I mean, for a later model iPhone, you can get $360 or $380.
Oh.
For a Samsung Galaxy, you can get up to $200. Some of the iPads, you could get $500. And MacBooks, if you trade in a later model MacBook, you could get up to $1,300.
Whoa!
So it's real money.
Oh, my God. In real money.
Real money.
Actual
real money. And the average MacBook trade-in is $450.
Wow.
So, again, this is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it isn't at all. I mean, even if you do a trade-in for the cell phone, they frequently don't even give you that much. So how does this work? So so let's say I find a smartphone, like a Galaxy, the 5 or 4 or something, and what do I do? Where do I go? How do I do this?
Go to Gazelle.com. We have a buy and a sell side on our site. So if you're looking to trade in, you click the sell, and you find the make and model of the device you have.
Uh-huh.
We will give you a price.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you a quote. And if you like the price we're offering, you accept the quote. Then we mail you a box.
Uh-huh.
We pay for the shipping.
Oh.
And as soon as we receive the device, the first part of our inspection process is complete data removal.
Uh-huh.
So you don't need to worry about your personal information. And then the device goes through a 30-point inspection. But pretty much as soon as we receive it, once we know that it matches up with your description, we send you your cash.
Okay. Wow. Now, I don't know that much about smartphones. They have what it's called a SIM card. Is that what they call that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do I leave that in there?
You should take out your SIM card.
Okay.
We provide some instructions about what to do once you accept our offer. We'll
send
you some emails telling you what to do. But if you leave the SIM card in, we'll be sure to destroy it. We're very concerned about protecting consumers' personal information, so you don't need to worry about that.
All right. Now, what about the condition of the phone? How do you know when you quote me prices what the condition is? Does it matter?
We ask you what condition it's in, and you describe it. And consumers really are very honest about the condition of their devices. If we receive the device and we find it's in better condition than you reported, we'll give you more money.
Whoa, an honest company. My God. Wow. That's crazy. This is
great. Well, we're Boston-based. What do you expect?
I'm not going to answer that question, okay? Wow, that's great. Everybody should know about this. I don't think anybody does, but my God, you should have Gazelle like printed on every building. That's pretty heavy. That's great.
And another option through Gazelle is purchasing pre-owned devices.
Yeah.
So it's just another way that you can extend the life of consumer electronics is considering purchasing pre-owned.
Yeah. Okay.
You can save up to 40% if you purchase pre-owned, and we have really amazing devices in excellent condition for quite a savings.
Oh, wow. What about laptops?
Yes, you can trade in or purchase MacBooks. Primarily Apple. We accept Apple desktops and laptops, and we sell MacBooks.
Wow. And free shipping. Wow, that's pretty good. Whew. Make some cash here. Okay. So, all right, so we go to gazelle.com, and that'll explain everything.
Absolutely. Right. If you find that you have older model devices that Gazelle doesn't accept, another site to check out is EcoATM. EcoATM is actually, they have a series of kiosks around the country in Walmarts and in malls, and you can go to their site, ecoatm.com. They take a broader catalog of devices and a lot more devices that might not be worth money, but they will responsibly recycle it for you.
Okay.
So I think that's really important.
All right, now let me ask you, as a lot of people have old devices, they've traded up, so the devices are fine. But in many cases as well, the devices just weren't working. They were inoperable. They wouldn't turn on, turn off. The batteries were bad or something. Are these of any interest to you, even though they were inoperable?
Gazelle takes some inoperable devices. That we also take smashed screens. EcoATM, again, takes a broader list of devices, but many of those older inoperable devices might not be worth money. Again, the last thing you want to do, however, is just throw it in the trash, because there's a lot of heavy metals and plastics and things that you just don't want in a landfill.
That's true. I mean, there's two kinds of people, Michelle. There's the kind of people that say, I don't want that in a landfill. That's a horrible thing. And the other people say, I might be able to get money for this. So, you know, it's kind of...
And so we have an answer for both.
Yes, you do. All right, gazelle.com. Check them out. Go through your stuff and your junk drawers. And I'm sure you got something in there, everybody. And turn it into some cash. And it's also for a great purpose, obviously, environmentally as well. Michelle Perry, thank you so much for your time this morning. Gazelle.com, thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, get rid of all your technological stuff that you don't need with the Gazelle people, gazelle.com, who are partially sponsoring today's program. Thank you so much, the Gazelles, the quick-footed, high-leaping Gazelles. Thank you so much. Sounds like Gazelles sound like animal, like, you know, well, they are an animal, but they sound like animals. They are animals. Gazelles are beautiful animals. Have you seen gazelles? They're beautiful animals.
Aww.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Just like little puppy dogs.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. They are so adorable. Everybody loves a good puppy dog, huh? Yeah. Everybody, even Donald Trump likes puppy dogs. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Look, there's protesters outside the studio. I simply mentioned his name and they're out there, yeah. They're horrible. They're horrible. A lot of people would love to see a gazelle eat Donald Trump's liver right out of his body.
Aww.
I know, that would be cute. It would be adorable. It would be cute. It would be nice. Oh, poor Donald. Poor Donald Trump. Poor, crazy, misgiven, stupid, egotistical, misogynistic, assholish Donald. Poor, poor guy. Poor guy.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner.
He is wrapped up like a douche. No question about it. That man is wrapped up like a douche. And, which is, by the way, a fine Mexican dish. the, the douche taco. Ugh, Ron, what the hell's wrong with you? Hey, it's in a cookbook. Don't get me crazy. I get a lot of cookbooks on this show. We interview a lot of cooks and chefs and things like that, which I love. I love food. Food is so cool. You know, when I meet a stranger, I may not know who they are. I may not know their name, where they come from, what they do. But if we get into a conversation about food, all of a sudden the barriers come down and I am just like free flowing. I'll take my clothes off in front of you if you do it in front of me. As long as we're talking about food, food to me is, it just breaks down barriers, man. I love talking about food, and I love talking about food with people who like to talk about food, and people who actually cook and who are creative chefs and creative cooks. I'll talk for hours with you, not even knowing what time of day it is anymore. I'll just be in my element, and I don't know what I love to cook. And I appreciate somebody else that loves to cook. It's my major bond, which sounds like an espionage movie. My name is Bond, Major Bond. It is a major bond for me. Oh, it's almost as bonding as it's just man, I just love to talk about food. Even more so than talking about animals.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. as soon as you talk about dogs and cats, there's always somebody that will do that. They'll go, "Aw, hey, you know, yesterday I was with my dog and my dog just like curled up next to me and fell asleep.
Aww.
And then had dinner. The dog went over to its bowl and ate dinner."
Aww.
Yeah, and then it started scratching its ear because I think it had like a little flea in that area.
Aww.
Yeah, and then I took it to the veterinarian, and it had its annual checkup.
Aww.
And they looked at my dog, and they said, "Your dog is in perfect health."
Aww.
And then I went up to the counter to pay for the dog for the annual checkup, and then they said, "That'll be $300. Yeah, I got pretty quiet.
Aww.
And I said, $300 for what?
Aww.
And I said, "When I go to my doctor, it doesn't cost $300.
Aww.
And they said, "Well, we're not your doctor."
Aww.
So I took some of their dog bones and I had them for dinner to get back at them.
Aww.
And then I got sick.
Aww.
And I had to go to my real doctor.
Aww.
And I found out it cost way more than $300.
Aww.
But I had health insurance, so I never realized how much it cost.
Aww.
And that's why our healthcare system is so ridiculous. It's way too expensive.
Aww.
It's all because of my dog.
Aww.
All right. I enjoyed it. I don't give a crap about you. I'm just telling you, I enjoyed it is all I'm saying. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to leave you alone for a while, like for like 24 hours. You go off and do what you have to do. Some of you really smell quite profusely, and you should really be taking a bath or a shower right now. Do you take showers or baths? I think we all take showers because they're faster. And in some of these new homes and some of these places, they don't even have bathtubs anymore. You have to take an entire shower, which is easy. It's the bath that really wastes water because you got to fill the bathtub up. But it's like swimming. It's like swimming in place. And you can get clean while you're lying in water. It's just very, you know what it's like? It's baby-like. It's baby-like because when we were little babies, they put us in these little tubs. And you would lie in water, you know, up to your neck. And more than that, you'd probably drown. But it's up to your neck. And you felt really comfortable, like your body kind of in water. It was just like a comforting feeling. I think it goes back to the womb when you're just lying there in the womb. It's a tiny little womb. I think that's what baths remind us of. Of course, I like candles. I don't think I lit candles when I was in the womb. I could have. I don't think I had a match, though. Had I had a match, I would have taken baths in my mother's womb. All right, that's enough. I wish you peace. I really do. I'm serious. The show's over. You can get your coat from the coat check girl just down the hall. Make a hard left turn and then a hard right. And there she is. And give her your little number and she'll get your coat. And see you tomorrow. You know what just happened while I was playing that closing theme music? I heard a little like buzzing sound, and it was a mosquito, and it landed on my arm, and it just bit me.
Aww.
So I swatted the little bastard.
Aww.
Now there's blood all over my arm and little mosquito bastard remains.
Aww.
Good night, everybody.
Aww.